Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Ryan Lehrer on WNYC. The Chris Christie story on most people's lips today is the lap band surgery he had in February that just got revealed. But there are two other Christie stories more worth talking about, we think. He's apparently raiding the Green New Jersey Sustainability Fund, and he changed his mind on an issue last week, and his flip seems to already be saving lives. It's New Jersey's new Good Samaritan law, which allows you to report someone having a drug overdose without either of you being arrested. Christie vetoed that bill last year, but changed his mind on a new version and signed it last week. At least one person in South Brunswick, according to the Star-Ledger, may be alive today as a result, a 23-year-old ODing on heroin whose friend called 911. Star-Ledger columnist Tom Moran is here to talk about both these things. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Brent.
John Bon Jovi had something to do with this on The Good Sam, is that right?
Well, supposedly, but I think that he was looking for a way to reverse himself. There were a ton of parents and siblings of overdose victims who were mobilizing, writing letters to legislators, to the governor's office. 20 different city councils passed resolutions, Democrat and Republican. So I think, you know, the governor said when he finally did sign the bill, he looked at it initially too much through a prosecutorial lens. So I think he had a change of heart that was sort of people shook some sense into him on this one.
Listeners, anybody with personal experience that relates to a Good Samaritan law like this, you can report somebody having a drug overdose to 911, and neither of you would be subject to arrest, regardless of the drugs that you may be apparently taking. 212-433-9692, or if you're familiar with the Sustainability Fund, the Green New Jersey money that Tom wrote about the other day that the governor is raiding, unconscionably, according to Tom Moran, you can talk about that too. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Yeah, so John Bon Jovi had a daughter in a situation like this, right?
I think that's right, Brian.
And so if he can't get Bruce to love him in public, I won't say publicly embraced him because of the other story, but if not Bruce, maybe John Bon Jovi's the next best thing.
Hey, he got Bruce's love in the end after Sandy. Bruce said, you know, he's coming around on him.
It's true. So the governor says this is a compromise bill that was made more acceptable to him than the old version, but some people think that he just got convinced and changed his mind. He had said the old version didn't have enough deterrence. It only had the Good Sam protections. But as far as you could tell, did anything actually change in the new version?
There are three small changes I could go through, but they amount to very little. One was he made it, there's explicit language now saying you're not protected from dealing drugs, but the original bill only excused people from drug possession anyway, so that's not really a change.
And
there's other protections, Brian, like asset forfeiture, you're protected against that. And if you're on parole and probation, you can't be sent back to jail, but now you could be forced to do drug testing. So these are minor changes. I think you really had a change of heart. I have a good source on this who told me the governor's staff said, look, we need a mulligan on this one. We made a mistake.
And I saw in the Star-Ledger that people were crying at the signing ceremony. People who had lost loved ones to drug overdoses who advocated for the bill. They say half, and who knows if this is an accurate number, but they say half of all overdoses are not immediately reported because people are afraid of getting that person into trouble or themselves as well if they were using. So they wait to see if the person comes around, and then sometimes it's too late.
These stories are so heartbreaking. People have called me with them as well, some people who don't want to use their names. But, you know, you're talking mostly about young kids, so you're talking to parents who lost their kid. But the one new fact on this whole scene that I didn't realize that is interesting is that most overdose victims don't actually die until 1 to 3 hours after they've taken a drug. So, as you say, you know, people there, they pass out and we're hoping they revive. And if they could just call 911, these people would live. There's something like 750 died drug overdoses the last year. They have numbers for in 2009.
Mm. So the same day as the signing, which I think was Monday last week, I'm not sure, 23-year-old had a heroin overdose in South Brunswick along Route 1, and his friend called 911, and the ODing person was treated and survived, and no one was arrested, according to the Star-Ledger. So an example of how this can go right.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's hard to find a logical argument against this myself.
Is this political? Does this have anything to do with the re-election year?
Well, they won't discuss that. I mean, Christie doesn't have to worry about getting reelected in New Jersey. I think if he's making political calculus, it's more aimed at a presidential run in 2016. He's up by 35 points now so far in New Jersey. So I don't think he has to dance much on that front.
That's going to help him win a Republican primary in Florida?
No, not the switch. I think the switch was probably heartfelt because he was a lot of these parents were calling up and agitating about it. But I don't think it was looked at that he better, you know, that he's in any danger in November. But I think the
but you don't want to. Can I interrupt you for
sure,
a minute?
Sure.
Because do you really want to sit here in early May and say that as if there's not going to be an election? Because if there's no media coverage of the fact that there's a race and no meaningful assessment of Christie's record in the next 6 months, well, then for sure he's a shoo-in. And I don't mean to be pro-Christie or anti-Christie, but in an election year, news organizations like yours and mine have to first step up and make sure we really assess the governor's record and assess critically and fairly how his challenger would likely be different before we say he's going to win, right?
Yes, absolutely. And rest assured, we will challenge his record.
All right. But you are going somewhere else with that?
Yeah, I was going to say that if there's a political calculus, it might have to do with his veto of it in the original that he was thinking about 2016, that he didn't want to look like he was soft on drugs somehow.
The original was, I see.
So, the veto.
Yes. So perhaps in spite of his presidential aspirations, he decided this was the right thing.
And realized, too, that a lot of Republicans in these, as I said, 20 resolutions in city councils, some of them Republican councils, a lot of the people affected by this are Republican families. So I don't think the politics is going to spin. I think it's just a compassion bill. And look, let's never underestimate the fact that it's not all about political calculus. I bet that he was moved, as I was, by the stories of these parents who lost kids.
Sounds like. Stephanie in Houston, Texas. You're on WNYC. Hello from New York.
Thank you. Hi.
Why are you calling in on this?
I was just sitting here listening to your show, and I'm actually really excited to hear about a bill like this because I live in Texas. I don't know what kind of laws or bills are being passed here, but I wanted to share my story real quick. When I was 8 years old in 1978, my father was 27. He had a problem with heroin. He went to a friend's house, and they were doing heroin, and my father passed out, and the friend got too afraid to call the police. He didn't want to be arrested, so he took my father to the police, to the hospital parking lot, and left him there, and he ended up dying before they could get out there. So I basically grew up my whole life without a father. I'm 44 years old, all because of this. This guy was too scared to call the police.
Wow.
I just wanted to share that story and the impact that it's had on my life and how simple it could have been to just call an ambulance.
I'm really glad you did. I'm kind of speechless, but I guess you're the poster child, literally, for a law like this.
Yeah. I hope it passes.
Thank you very much. And you know, Tom, this is a big thing on college campuses too now. Not necessarily for drug overdoses from illegal drugs, but for binge drinking. And since the drinking age is 21, but we know what 18 to 21 year olds do on college campuses, not infrequently. There are a lot of good SAM policies on college campuses now so that they're not going to get in trouble. They're only going to get in so much trouble, whatever the particular college has set as the policy. But they talk about this a lot on campus with respect
right.
to alcohol.
In 2009, New Jersey passed a Good Samaritan law regarding underage drinking, and it passed unanimously. This one had to go through a little more fight, so I guess it's a question of which drug you overdose on has a different political reaction. But if I could just add about Texas, Brian,
yes.
According to the Drug Policy Alliance, there are 11 states, including New York, that have this type of law, but not including Texas. So that sad story could repeat itself tomorrow in Houston.
All right. So, Stephanie, go make your voice heard in Austin now that it's been heard in Trenton. Tom Arand, Star Ledger columnist. I saw your column regarding the and I'm just flipping to this so I can ask you an informed question. talk about your column regarding raiding this environmental fund. What do you see the governor doing there?
Well, what's amazing to me is that he hasn't paid a price for this in a state with a very strong environmental movement. He's still so popular when he does this kind of thing. It's $1 billion over the four budgets of his that he's taken from this clean energy fund that's intended to do energy conservation mostly, but also some seed money for green energy projects. And it's paid for on everyone's monthly electric bill. You pay a surcharge called the societal benefits charge. That money goes into a fund, and instead of being used for the purpose it's raised, he's been grabbing it. So it's pretty remarkable. $1 billion is a lot of money. I mean, we are talking, we have fights in New Jersey over $7.6 million when he closed the Planned Parenthood clinics here, and this is $1 billion. We have a $30 billion roughly budget each year, so to give you a sense of the scale of this, it's a big move.
That's a lot of money out of a $30 billion budget that's supposed to be used for sustainability programs, for greening the state in various ways. This goes to homeowners to shore up their insulation and stuff like that, or what?
Yeah, it goes to a variety. There's a whole slew of projects. And as I said in the column, you can make a good argument that there are better ways to spend $1 billion on green projects than this fund. But, you know, why not then divert this money to those better methods rather than just take it and use it to balance your budget?
And he's using it for the general fund to spend money on other things?
Right.
You know, that's why Social Security is short of money on the federal level. Maybe this is a tangent. But it always runs a surplus, and yet Congress has raided it for the general fund year after year. And making it worse is that Social Security has its own dedicated tax, as we all know, so there should have been a lockbox on that money. So I guess you're describing a similar situation in New Jersey because there's this surcharge on, what was it, on energy bills?
Yeah, your electric bill.
For these sustainability programs, and then the governor single-handedly, he has the authority to do that, use the money for other things?
I'm sorry, Brian. Democrats voted for these budgets that included this money.
So this is the Democratic legislature in addition to the governor.
Right. In New Jersey, the governor has overwhelming power in the budget showdowns. So I think it's fair to put any budget, whether it's Corzine or Christie, primarily on them, because he has line item veto power. And he has a veto. The Democrats have a majority, but not enough to override veto. So there's really no spending they can do, and that he doesn't want. That leaves him in a very powerful position when it comes to bargaining over the budget. He's had his way on that front.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned in the column that Christie got an important environmental group endorsement for his initial election because of a promise along these lines.
Well, it was a broader agenda. It wasn't a promise just on the Clean Energy Fund. But they feel betrayed. You know, but I've got to tell you, at the time, almost every other environmental group besides the Environmental Federation thought that was a crazy move, because Corzine had been, in their perception, pretty good on the environment. When he was a senator, he was in D.C., Corzine was getting, you know, 95 and 100% ratings from all the environmental groups.
So could this result in an endorsement change for any particular environmental group this year?
I don't think Christie has much of a prayer with most of the environmental groups for getting an endorsement. Bono will probably scoop all those up, although polls tell you it's not a critical issue when it comes time to vote.
Yeah, I was just going to add, there was a time, as you well know, that the environment was one of the few critical issues in New Jersey. But I guess that era is kind of gone with property taxes, with education, with the budget shortfalls, with pensions, and a lot of cleanup has been done on some of those old toxic waste New Jersey issues.
Yes, exactly. A lot of the behaviors are much improved and a lot of the stuff is cleaned up. So the environment is in stronger shape. We've had, you know, the Pinelands Act that saves huge, like 1 million acres in South Jersey. We have the Highlands Water Protection Act in North. There's a lot of fights about how that's being implemented, but I think it's fair to say that the environmental map has changed because of that movement, and that's made it less urgent for a lot of people.
And sprawl and congestion are still big environmental issues, but that's not exactly this.
Yeah, but certainly we have our share of that. The bulldozers are still at work here.
Tom Moran, Star Ledger columnist, thanks a lot.
Sure thing, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And as kind of a segue out of that, coming up next, the tunnels you take for granted, how New York's remarkable water system works. Stay with us.